Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no. Oh no. We gotta change it. Just you and me. Just you and me. We gotta change the world. What is
good evening, assalamu alaikum. Good evening. This is my name is Samia Muhammad, and welcome to Mother's Milk. I pray that everybody's having a wonderful day, and if you're not, I pray that tomorrow is a better day than it was today. I know for the Northeast, you're just going back to school this week, and next week in the South, we've been in school now for about 4 weeks. So. Now that everybody's going back to school, let's look at some of the things that we need to be focused on as we send our children back to school. First of all, we have to understand something that I think many of us have not really fully focused on and concentrated on, and that is the fact that these are your children. I'm going to say that again. These are your children. You own them just like we own ourselves. These are some unique ideas for us to grasp because we still subconsciously think we belong to someone else. We belong to the government. We belong to the state. We belong to the city. No, none of those entities own your children. So it's up to you as parents to look out for their best interest, no matter what it is, okay? And I'm saying that because we're at a state of in time where less and less of your ownership and your ability to decide what goes on with your children is in your hands. So you think there are those who want you to believe that you have no say in raising your children, in educating your children, in feeding your children, anything that has to do with your children, there are people who are trying to take all of those rights from you as a parent. And you have the ability to resist that. You don't have to do the things that are against your better judgment as a parent, meaning for the wealth and health being and well-being of your child. Too many times, because we don't participate in certain community things or city things, we get boxed into laws, so-called laws, and things that make us to feel that we must comply. But we don't have to comply with things that are not in our best interest, and we have to be the ones to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're just not doing it. So there's all kind of things going on in terms of vaccines, in terms of how you can dress your child, and all kinds of things that are happening in the world, and we just comply. We just give in, and we just let people tell us, oh, well, your child. No, we don't have to do that. There are enough churches, community centers, places that we own and control that we don't have to do the things that are being shoved down our throats and pushed upon us. They're saying, well, your child can't come to this school if it doesn't get vaccinated. Well, then don't have to go to that school. You know, there was a big movement back in the 80s where we said, no, we're no longer going to let our children attend these schools. But our problem is that we are so afraid of not being liked by people that we will give in and do what they want us to do, even if it's against ourselves. That part we have to get over, because the same God that brought us through all of this will continue to bring us through if we stand up. There is a cartoon posted on a drawing posted rather on Facebook where there are black men kneeling down and there's a board game on their backs, and each of the countries of Europe and other places are playing this game on their backs, and all they got to do to upset the board is stand up. And I thank our brother Kaepernick for standing up against this brutality that is happening to us all over the country, and we have to be the ones to say enough is enough, and we're not going to take it anymore. You know, many of us do not like to share with our children our history because we like, oh, it's too harsh. It's too, you know, we want to let them be dreamers. No, our children can't afford to be dreamers like that right now. They have to dream dreams that are based in the reality of their greatness and know that it was through a struggle and the strength of our people that we're still here today. So they can't afford to be naive. They can't afford at this time not to know what is happening around them in the sense of protecting themselves from outside forces. Now, that doesn't mean, and I need to say this to us as parents, especially as mothers, you spend the most time with your children, but the telephone and the social media has become an instrument of detriment to our children, because you don't care what you say on the telephone. You don't care what you're looking at, that your children are in earshot of. And all of this is ill affecting them because they come to school and discuss whatever they think they heard you say, whether it's right or wrong. 9 times out of 10, they've gotten all the information mixed up and wrong, but they're talking with their peers and they're spreading with their peers what is going on in your household. As teachers, sometimes we have to tell them, hey, stop. TMI, too much information. Stop talking. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me what's going on in your house like that. Okay? So we have to be careful. You know, our elders were very wise. When we were younger, we were not allowed to, as they say, smell their breath. We could not sit among adults and partake in adult conversations. When you were young, you had to leave the room. You know, you just were not to be a part of what was being talked about as children. nowadays you share with your children everything that's going on in your household, be it negative or positive, and especially in relationships between husband and wife or baby daddy and baby mama, all this stuff your children know. And they're judging how their life is going to go by the way that you're presenting these things to them. And 9 times out of 10, it gets skewed, it gets mixed up, and as children will do, they'll come back and have the whole thing totally confused. So let us be more mindful in our homes, in our households, what we talk about. Children are bringing it back to school with them. Okay, now, school. School time is your children are spending more time in school than they're spending at home. We as parents have to prepare our children for school. And it's not about buying pencils and notebooks and gym shoes and sneakers and gym outfits and the coolest jeans. All of that's superficial. What are you doing about their diet? What are you doing about their sleep habits? What are you doing about their study habits? All of these things make for a scholar as opposed to a dropout. You add to all of this. And you don't have to have a lot of money. Let's get that straight. I knew a young lady when I was in high school, brilliant young lady. She wanted to be a doctor. And she was the top of our class in everything. And I had the opportunity to go home with her one day. And I was so hurt by the way they were living. They lived in a Bronx, but they lived in a what they call a row house, a shotgun house. You can just look through from one door all the way to the back. They had nothing. She did her homework on a cardboard table. I had a desk in my room. They had like three rooms, and it was a whole bunch of them. But she had the work ethic to change her condition. And this is what we have to instill in our children. Our children nowadays have too much. There's just too much. You just give them too much. Whatever they ask for, you give them. And you think that's showing love. That's not. It's getting them ready to expect to be given things that they really need to be working for and earning. So we need to relook at that. You know, just because your child says, can I? It's no, you can't have that. No, I can't afford it. Or if I can't afford it, it's too much for you right now. You won't take care of it. I'm not giving it to you. You're the parent. Well, he's not going to like me. She's not going to like me. They're not supposed to. Your child is to love you as their parent because you brought them in the world. Your child is not to be your friend. Let me say that again. Your children are not to look at you as their friend. They're to see you as their parent, someone who will further them and guide them along to adulthood, where then they can turn around and say, thank you, Mommy, thank you, Daddy, for bringing me up correctly. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of craziness going on about what's correct, what's not correct. You know in your heart of hearts when what you're doing is correct and it's not correct. Just because you have buried your consciousness, your moral consciousness, doesn't mean that you still don't know what's right. And you pay for it every day when you make up in your mind just to be totally against what the God created. Everything he says do, this society says don't do. They got you worrying and confused about what's right and what's wrong. There is still clearly a right and wrong, and you pay the consequences for everything you do wrong, either in your illness, either in your mental state, either in your obesity or your lack of ability to gain. It all shows up. So we need to look at ourselves as parents and say, what example am I displaying for my child? Because light travels quicker than sound. You could talk all day, but your child, 9 times out of 10, is going to do what they say you do. Now, there are some children who are born who are just not going to do that. They're here to forge their own way, and they will do that despite whatever is going on around them. But they are few and far between. Okay. You're sending your children to school, have them prepared mentally. What does that mean? Your child needs to go to bed at a certain hour. No child should be able to dictate to you as a parent when they feel like going to bed. No. You need to be in the bed, get in the bed. I'll read you a story. I'll put on some soft music, but you're going to go lay down in that bed right now. All of those electronic things that you're allowing them to mess with during the day, all that stuff should be out of their bedroom. When you send them to bed, send them to bed with a good book. Send them to bed with some prayers. Excuse me. Send them to bed knowing to be thankful for the day, however you say it. Let them know that the first thing that they should say when they get up is thank the God above or below, however they, wherever they think he is, but thank the God for allowing them to wake up and be grateful. One of the things that I'm finding with our young people, they are so ungrateful. They are full of ingratitude. It's like I'm supposed to get this and you didn't give it to me. And no, stop it. We have to bring civility back to our children. Number one, by the way we talk to them, and number two, by the way we allow them to talk to us. Do not let your young child interrupt while you're talking to another adult. Do not let your child turn around and say, "What? Excuse me, I'm your mother. You don't speak to me like that. I'm your father. How dare you talk to me like that?" You have to be a parent. We have to be parents. We cannot let the children just go wild, and you got to start when they're young. You have to take the time to be with them when they're young. And we can't go, "Well, I got to go to work." Okay, but when you're not at work, what are you doing with your children? "Well, I'm tired when I come home." Okay, but again, they didn't ask to be here. So you need to make arrangements to spend time, quality time with them, because it makes all the difference in the world. As they grow older, they will want to be around you instead of fleeing from you. Okay, so now that school has started, you have to set a schedule. What time they're going to bed, what time they're getting up. Have routines. When your children come in the house, everybody should know this is where you put your shoes, this is where you hang your coat, this is where your book bag goes. You take your book bag, you take out the books you need, do your homework, make sure everything gets put back in that book bag gets put back in the same spot. So in the morning when you all have to get up and leave the house, you're all not running around. "I don't know where my shoes are, I don't know where my book bag is." You need to have a place for everything. A little bit of organization in the beginning squashes a whole lot of chaos, a whole lot of frustration in the morning. So before your child goes to bed, first of all, you should be checking homework. I had an opportunity to watch two movies a couple of weeks ago, very old movies. I'd never watched them. I bought them at a store for $5. There was two movies on one DVD, and I sat there and I watched these movies. One of them was Juice, and the other one was Menace to Society. And I was taken aback, especially by Juice, because Juice occurred up on Sugar Hill, where I grew up, and it was predicted to be the early 70s. And I'm going, what the heck happened between the time I graduated from high school and this depiction of my old neighborhood, Edgecombe, St. Nicholas? And I'm going, what happened? So in the movie, you got these young boys running around doing all kind of madness, and not once did a parent in that movie say, "Wait a minute, where are your books? Let me see your homework. Where have you been until 10:30 at night on a school night?" Nobody's checking anything, and I'm like, wait a minute, how did that happen? But when you look, I don't know how other people watch movies, but I watch not just the characters that are moving back and forth in front. I'm looking at what's going on in the background also. And I'm looking at the environment that these children came out of. These were not poor kids. These were not children who were poverty stricken. I'm looking at the furniture in their homes, and the mother's going to work, the father's going. I'm going, wait a minute, what happened? What happened? How did the society just, how did we just fall apart like that? Then you move on to Menace to Society and the madness that was going on in that movie. I'm like, oh, we just totally lost any sense of civilization as a group. The way that people were talking to their parents, talking to each other, I'm like, oh, my goodness. So this is when all of this happened. So what happened then? You had young people who cut their teeth on these movies, and this became the thing to do. And so they now have children, and this is all they know, is a false sense of who we are as a people based on what Hollywood put out. So we have to be conscious enough to turn around and turn this madness around. Talk to each other when you see each other on the street. Say good evening, good morning, how are you? To the people you pass by. You'd be surprised what happens. Oh, how are you? Yes. So we need to start talking to each other. We need to know our neighbors. I keep saying this. We need to know who we live next door to, who's down the hall from us, who's upstairs from us. When I grew up, I knew everybody in my building. Everybody. They knew me, and I knew them, and they knew me, and I knew that they knew me, so I had to act a certain way in the street because I was liable to run into one of them, which I did a couple of times. And the lady was sitting at the table talking to my aunt when I got in the house. I'm like, oh, man. So good thing I wasn't too out of order, but we knew that was going on, so we checked ourselves and we checked on each other. We got to bring that kind of thing back to our community. Because we are under siege. Don't get it twisted. We, as black people, as people of color, are under siege. And it doesn't matter if you have a doctorate, if you have a master's degree. They don't care what kind of degrees you have. So we need to be able to protect ourselves and know who's around us and know who to call on for help. All right? So getting back to school. Okay, your children need to be aware of their surroundings as they go to school, whether they're walking on a bus, on the subway, school buses, wherever they are. They need to constantly be aware of what's going on around them and stay on the alert and stay ready to react to whatever's happening. You know, I was driving behind a school bus one day, and there was a guy and some children in the back of the bus just beating this other little kid up. So I started blowing my horn for the bus driver, somebody to please pay attention to what's going on back there. So somebody finally went back there and stopped it. But I'm saying we have to be aware what's going on with our children. Now this whole thing is going around about bullying and cyberbullying and all this foolishness. See, this all comes about because of overcorrection. All right? When I was little, people were getting fights. You know, somebody messed with you, you know, you get in a fight after school, and you knocked that, you know, nobody jumped in. You know, that wasn't what happened. You fought the person, they fought the person, that was it. You know, you got your little frustration out, and it was over. But nowadays, it's this mentality of ganging up on people. Fair fights. It's six against one or eight against one. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So we have to begin to deal with our children. How do they handle anger? How do they deal with disputes? What do we allow them? Because a lot of times all this comes out of injustice. It comes out of jealousy. It comes out of envy. It comes out of injustice. You know, all of this anger that we've allowed to build up in our children. We need to teach our children how to handle conflict. What do you do? There's a disagreement in our house. First of all, we never allow any name calling in our house. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said you don't call people nicknames. You call them by the name they were given. Okay? So that was a no-no in our house. You didn't call anybody big head or stupid. No, I hear that, and then we got a problem with you. Okay, my children had to speak to each other in a civilized manner. Whenever the volume got too loud between them, I call everybody, what's the problem? What are you fussing about? You know, and made sure that one person spoke at a time. All right, you say what you got to say. You finished? You said all you had to say? Okay, stop. Now what happened on this side? You know, and then, of course, the first person's always trying to jump. No. You had your turn. You wait. What happened? Okay, and then you mediate, and you find out where the truth lies. You know, and you don't let the person say what the other person did. What did you do in the situation? What did you cause to happen? And how could you have done it better? What could you have done differently to de-escalate this instead of making it go on? So these are the kind of things, these are the ways that we have to bring back to dealing with our children. Now, that means, of course, we have to do this by example. That means you and the husband, your husband or your said whatever, cannot sit up here yelling and cussing at each other in front of the children. You got to refrain from that kind of behavior if you want to change this society around. My intro music, wake up, everybody. We can't do this alone. We got to be together on this. Everybody's got to contribute to trying to turn around the madness that is going on in our society, among our people especially. So we got to rethink this whole thing. Okay, you have to deprogram your children when they come from school. What happened in school today? You have to watch them. You should be able to know when their behavior changes. That child was not acting like that last week. What happened that you're now acting this way? But that means you got to pay attention. That means you got to pull your head out of the cell phone, turn off the television, shut down the computer for a minute. Look at your children. Pay attention. And ask questions. What's wrong? Are you okay? What happened in school today? Did somebody say something to you to upset you? You don't look like your normal self. The child may be tired, maybe coming down with a cold, whatever. But you need to be asking questions. Did anybody say anything to you? Find out how their teachers are talking to them. Did your teacher call you out of your name? Did your teacher tell you that what you said was stupid or whatever? Find out, and then be ready to go up there and talk to them. Go talk to these teachers. Excuse me, I understand that the such and such and such and such happened. What happened? How did this happen? Why did you, you know, I had to go see one of my, I went to open school night one time with one of my daughters, and this particular teacher had been teaching like 30-something years. He gave them a test that he had rewritten and cut and pasted on, I guess, I don't know how many times, but it was a mess. The page was all scrambled. It was just an awful piece of paper to look at. And I took this test to him. I said, excuse me, what is this? You gave this test to my child? I don't know how to test. Some excuse he came up with. I'm like, No, sir. Unacceptable. I said, this test shows you don't care about these students at all. When I first sat down to talk to him, he's going to say, well, I'm just trying to prepare these children to go in the Army. I said, Army? Ooh, not mine. What are you talking about? And this was just before the Iraq War, and I began to tell him what was really going on over there. And then I had to see the same teacher the following year because my daughter had him for another class, and he was scared. He was literally trembling to know that I was coming back to talk to him. But he did admit, he said, you were right, and I was wrong. You understood what was globally going on, and I didn't. I said, yeah, and you're the history teacher. Okay? Don't be afraid to speak truth to power. I don't care who the power is. Know the truth and be ready to defend your children if you have to. Don't let people break their spirit, you know, just tear them down. No, you be there ready to say, no, you're not going to talk to my child like that. This is what happened. Know your facts and raise a child to tell you the truth. Yeah, they're going to tell lies sometimes. But in general, you should be able to know, well, my child is not telling me other than the truth. Yeah. So we have to be the protectors of our children. We have to be the ones who care for them, who take care of them, who step in between them and what's going on in the world. That's not right. So going to school, making sure that your children have the supplies they need. Make sure they keep up with them. Don't just give a child another pencil every time they can't find one. Make them go find the pencil. You just had it. What'd you do with it? Go find it. I'm not giving you another one until you go find that one. You know, make them responsible for turning in their homework. Make sure they do their homework. And even if you don't understand what the homework is, go get some tutoring on what they're doing. What are you doing? You know, I know they got this so-called new math. Look, new reading, new math, it never works. What worked was the old-fashioned way that they taught prior to the 50s. When the 50s came in and they came out with all of this newfangled reading and newfangled mathematics, we never recovered from the changes, quote-unquote changes that they made. Okay, I remember us being taught see, spot, run, 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 run. That's no way to teach somebody to read. And then on top of that, we were not in the any of the images. Only thing black in those books was spots, the spots on black, or the black spots on the dog call spot. So we had issues. I remember, and it dawned on me recently, I had a question, why in the world were we in New York City in the 50s singing Jump Down, Turn Around, Pick a Bale of Cotton? Jump down, turn around, pick a bale a day. Oh, Lordy, pick a bale of cotton. I'm like, what? I'm like, what were we doing singing that in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, in public school in New York City? We need to know what our children are learning, what they're being exposed to, what they're singing, what's being put in their heads. And then you have to empty it out and put something better in your children's head. I'm going to take a break right now. This is Mother's Milk. I'll be back in a minute.
Yo, Bus. Yo, Shivani. Yo, Warren. I really don't think they're ready for this. But let's try it anyway. Put your hands up. Come on. They ain't hype enough for being here. Come on. Time to make through the three. Don't stay holding you down. Hear me now. Woo! Keep your hands where my eyes can see. I'm looking for you. I know I saw you.
Problems that were never really mine. Searching for solutions that I know I could not find.
Can't find it.
Calling on you helped me realize, but now I see there really is no mystery. Ooh. Oh Lord,
come on,
let's see.
All my troubles,
that's all
I'm all
on.
All my troubles,
I took my eyes off you. Blessed my circumstance. Lord, what is wrong with me? Gotta remind myself that you are all I need.
Just call his name, and he get my back, and he gets yours just the same. So why you wanna go play tough boy now? Need a little help, let me show you how. Ripping up everything that's got you bound. So you go boy, you's a free man now.
Never be ever again.
We're back, and the show is called Mother's Milk, and my name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and we're talking about going back to school. And so one of the questions that you as parents must ask yourselves and ask your children is, why are they going to school? What do they expect to gain from school? And they'll probably look at you with a very blank look, like, I don't know, I'm going because you told me I got to go. That's not the answer you want from your child. And you need to ask yourself, why are you sending your child to school? Well, because I have to go to work. But what are they to gain from this experience for 8 hours a day? Education is to bring light to the mind of an individual. And the light is to shine into the darkness of this mind so that this mind can discover and unveil why it was put here on the planet in the first place. Each of us are a gift to the world. Now, and each of us have something to accomplish. Sometimes what we have to accomplish may seem negative to everybody else, but that negativity causes somebody else to do something more positive and fix something that this other person broke. So we have to be about trying to discover who this little person in your house is, what gift they have for the world, and help them to cultivate it. That's our job as parents. Your child's job is to pay attention to what it is they like to do, what they're attracted to doing, and not be afraid to go ahead and cultivate whatever that gift is. Because they discover very young. I did an exercise with my students because I saw somebody else do it. And I asked my students, I said, when you were 5 years old, what did you want to be? And I watched their faces. And many of them had this sparkle in their eyes, and they were smiling to themselves. And they began to recite the different things they wanted to be at five that they no longer felt were possible at 14 and 15 or even 10. So we need to constantly point to listen to our children at five. Watch them as they get to be 10 and 11 and say, you know, when you were five, you said you wanted to do such and such. What made you change your mind? Or is it, what are you doing to pursue this? Do you still want to do this? So we need to pay attention. What is it my child wants to be? What is it my child has a gift for, has a knack for, is good at? Because all children are not good at the same thing. Now, I caution you parents, do not ever, ever compare one child to the other and say, you need to be like your older brother or you need to be like your younger sister. No. Please don't ever do that. Because what you do is you kill the God in that child. Because that child is here for a particular purpose. He may resemble that other child in looks because they're siblings, but never say, you need to be like so-and-so. Because you don't know how hurtful that is to a child. How damaging that is. As a child, that happened to me. I had an aunt that was always telling me I need to be like my friends. And I would laugh inside because my friends were some of the biggest devils on the planet. They were doing all kind of stuff that she didn't know about. I knew what they were doing. I don't want to be like them. You really don't want me to be like that person who's sneaking out the house and putting on doing all kind of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. So, but as children, it's hurtful if you don't value that child's gift and you want this child to be like somebody else. You always want the best from your child. You want that child's best. You don't want that child to be better than the brother or less than the sister. You want that child to put in its maximum effort to do its best because they're all individuals and they're all different. And I should know. I got 9 children. And they're all different. And everybody has a different aspect of their personality, which lets them shine and be who they are, as opposed to being their sister or their brother. And again, another thing, don't ever pick favorites. Don't have a favorite child that you will do everything for and not be just to the others. That's not fair. You have to strive for justice in a family. The more children you have, the more just you have to be. You can't let one child sneak in and get a cookie and direct. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. That's not fair. You don't give one child something and then deny it to the other child. No, you can't do that. You got to be just. Justice brings about peace, even in, especially in your household. So we have to have, we have to be balanced and be just with our children. You know, like I said, try to discover what special talent this particular child has. One may sing, one may dance, one may be an artist, one may be a writer. One just might be a thinker, someone who sits and is busy creating a world that we don't know anything about. We can't even see it in our minds. So we can't be like, why aren't you talking? Maybe that child, I don't feel like talking right now. Some people are quieter than others. You don't expect, some people are very energetic, some are not. So you need to know your children. Then, and that way you will know when there's something wrong, when a child's acting other than themselves. So we as parents have to step back and be more observant and take more time with our children. We're letting everything else in this world overtake the job of parenting. Parenting gets put on a back burner, and we let too many people from the outside interfere with our parenting. You know, oh, you shouldn't spank your child. Excuse me? No, you shouldn't brutalize your child. But children need to be spanked sometimes, part of teaching a lesson. Okay? Because all this, well, you give the child time out and take. No, stop. No, stop. You have a right to spank your children, because if you don't, the police will kill them, okay? You have a rude, obnoxious child. And let me say this. Nobody likes a spoiled child. Nobody likes a spoiled brat who's been allowed to do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it and has no respect for authority, adults. Nobody has no respect even for themselves. Do not be a part of raising a child like that, because nobody likes that child to be around them. No, for surety. Your friends may lie to you and say, oh, yeah, I like. No, they don't. No, they don't, because they go behind your back and they talk about how rude your child is. So let us be parents and say, excuse me. No, you don't interrupt people that are talking without saying excuse me. And that's another thing. We have to learn conversation again. We don't know how to talk to each other, even as adults, because 9 times out of 10, you're standing there in a conversation with other people, and all you're focused on is what you want to say in the conversation. And then you turn around and say something that was already said because you weren't focused and listening to the conversation. You were just waiting for your turn to jump in and say whatever is that you want to say. So there's no conversation going on. Conversation and communication means one person has to talk, the other person has to listen. And we need to learn the art of listening well. We need to listen to what people are saying and what people are not saying. That way we know when the person is giving us a balanced picture, giving us the truth. Too often, we have no idea what people are saying to us, because we're not listening. We're half listening, especially when you have a cell phone in your hand. You're like, uh-huh. And then you come back and tell the person, well, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did, but you were busy looking at your phone. So we need to really kind of chill out with these telephones, because we have become their prisoners. We are in the cell, the jail cell of a cell phone, because it's running your life. First thing you do in the morning is pick up your cell phone. You don't say prayer. You don't thank the person. You don't say good morning to the person. Next to you, you reach in for your phone to find out who called you and what you missed on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever the heck else you're looking at. We need to stop. We need to get back to communicating and having conversations with people, not text messaging. Text messaging has messed up a whole bunch of relationships, because what you put in that text message is not necessarily what you're really trying to say and in the manner that you're saying it, and it leaves too much for interpretation. We need to speak to each other more often. Hello, how are you? What's going on? Yes, talk back and forth to people and stop letting the electronics run our lives. We really need to be about a conversation. Teach your children the art of talking to one another. You know, all of this, and please turn off the Disney channels and all these little TV shows that are supposed to be for children, but that are socially engineering your children to be rude and disrespectful and cold-hearted and not be children anymore. They're pint-sized adults walking around talking to each other in all kind of disrespectful ways. We need to screen with our children. Sit down and watch television with them and correct what you see incorrect on the television. Because somebody's got to be their filter, because they're being overwhelmed with social engineering that is coming from television, radio, video games. You need to know what's going in your child's mind, because your child is feeding on it and they're reacting to it. So you need to say, So when my children were little, I was always talking back to television, and they thought I was crazy until they got older. And then they're like, yeah, now they talk back to television. What is that? Why are they saying such stupid? See, but there had to be somebody there to say, no, don't let that go in your mind unfiltered. No, that's not true. That's not how that history happened. No, this is not correct. That's not the way you talk to a dog. That's not the way you talk to a sibling. Turn it off. You can't watch this. It's not doing you any good. So we have to be parents, and that means that we have to be unselfish. We have to stop being selfish and looking at ourselves as, well, why want to do this? Well, you had time to do all that before you had children. And if you did not decide correctly when to have your children, then don't make the children suffer. They didn't ask to come here. They're not here of their own volition. They didn't come on their own. You brought them in the world. Mother, you carried this child for at least 7 months, hopefully 9. You and that child were one. Every thought, every action, everything you did, you ate, the way you slept, all of that affected this child that you carried. So now you need to continue to carry this child to adulthood. You're not done when you deliver the baby. That's just the beginning. You know, I had a friend of mine. I was very young. I just got married, and she was a little older than me, but she had 7 children already. And then she called me one day, and she said, you know what? I just realized these children are always going to be my children. And yeah, they are, always. Parenting, motherhood, fatherhood, it doesn't stop until you leave the planet. And even when you leave the planet, it doesn't stop if you've been a good parent. Because if you've been a good parent, then your children always can refer back. Daddy said this, mommy said that, and I remember when daddy did that, and he told me this, and he showed me this, and he taught me how to do that, she taught me how to do this. That's what you want to be remembered. You don't want your child like, I don't know what, there's the internet at the funeral. They have nothing to say good about you because they don't remember anything you did. Because all they remember was you were on the phone or you were at work or you were tired. So we need to stop that. And we need to put in our children's mind an image of someone who cared for them and cared about them. So when you leave, they will always remember, have good memories of you. You don't ever want your children to have bad memories of you as a parent, or no memory of you as a parent. So let us all be about doing what we need to do. Back to school. School is an opportunity, yes. School is a nurturing place, or at least it should be. And if it's not, take your children out. You can start your own schools. Do that. It's better that you homeschool or start your own school or get in a school that is already developed, that has a track record of producing strong, whole black children, pull them out. You're like, oh, but that means that I have, yeah, that means you got to make a sacrifice. That means you got may not be able to buy but one pair of shoes this season. Oh, you can't buy that bag that you were looking at in whatever window or the jewelry. Because in the end, none of that stuff matters because it's just stuff. It's just stuff. And all the stuff can go if it's going to save your child's life. Because in the end, if you're in a fire, I tell another one of my students this, because they was fussing with their parent, with their one of their siblings. I say, wait a minute. I say, what would you prefer, to be in a fire and lose your sibling, or be in a fire and lose all this stuff that you two are sitting here fussing about? This is stuff. It could go. So, but if the whole house burns down and you walk out with your sibling, won't you feel much better than it happening that you lose your sibling and end up with all this stuff? They had to think about it, and we need to think about it. All these things that we give our children do not substitute for us being with them, being for them, being their advocates, being their parents, being the one who cares about them more than anybody else. That's your job. That's the job that you took on when you conceived that life, and it never stops until you leave this planet. So, yes, you have a lifelong job. So let's get on it. Let's do the best job we can. We should be proud to be parents. We're not proud to be parents anymore. We're not proud to say, well, I'm that person's mother. Who are you? I'm so-and-so's mother. What do you do? I do that. That's what I do. I'm that child's mother. I do that all day, every day. We need to honor being a mother. Being a father, I'm that child's father. Yes, I go to work, and I make sure that this child has what it needs. We need to be proud to be parents. We need to be able to say, yes, I am a mother. Yes, I do that. That's what I do. And do it well. And do it well. So, you know, there's some things we need to start working on, turning around. School, make sure your children do their work. And if it's not done right, find out why it's not done right. They might not understand something. They might have missed something in class. You be ready to help them understand it. And if you have to pay for a tutor, do that. You need to get somebody to intervene on this child's behalf to teach them what they missed. It only takes a couple of days to be out of school and miss a whole concept that the teacher may not go back over to your satisfaction, or the child's satisfaction, so they can understand it. But you be the one to do that checking before it's time for report cards. Know what your child knows. Know what your child doesn't know. Help them. I had one night, my husband and I spent almost an hour trying to help our son tell time. And what happened was they had taught them money and time at the same time. Well, a quarter after 3 is 15 minutes, but a quarter is 25 cents. And he kept telling us that the quarter was 15 cents. And we're going, what are you talking about? Then it didn't dawn on us, so we're like, wait a minute. Okay, hold up, stop. Oh, this is what he's getting confused on. But you shouldn't teach that, those two concepts at the same time, because it's a conflict. You know, you have adults right now. You tell them to come back a quarter after 3, and they'll come back at 3:25. Because nobody taught them that a quarter after 3 is 15 minutes. Because you're talking about a circle of 60 minutes as opposed to 100. These are little things. And these are the little things that mess people up forever because nobody explains it to them. And they go along as adults. And they don't know. What? They're like, what? Is that true, really? I mean, you'd be surprised the things people as adults don't know that they think they know or that they missed somewhere in life. So, you know, let us be better parents this school year. Let your children write down goals. What do I want to learn this year? When I come out of school at the end of the school year, what do I want to have learned, mastered? Not for the test. Let's talk about this testing business. Your child may not be feeling well the day of a test. And it's not fair to judge this child's whole high school career or elementary school, whatever it is, the whole year's worth of work on one test, an exit test. No, that's only an indication of what you need to know. Can this child apply what he just learned? Can a child actually take a ruler and measure properly how much carpeting we need for this rug? Can this child actually measure out what the ingredients to cook with? Can this child go to the store and get me the correct change? Can this child recognize that 10% off is not really a bargain on something that only costs $5? These are practical things that the children need to be able to apply when they walk out of school. Can this child communicate effectively enough with somebody to explain to this person who they are, what they want to do, and where they're going in life? Can this child sit down and write a letter, a resume, a letter of introduction? Can this child do this? If this child cannot do any of this, then this child is not educated. This child has become a quotationator, somebody who just quotes things that they were told, somebody who just repeats whatever they were said, was said to them. There's no thinking going on. That's not what you want. You want somebody that is educated and has enough knowledge to look into what's being said to them, weigh it up, see whether it's acceptable, whether it should be accepted, whether it should be taken to their heart or not, whether they can use it or not. If they have knowledge or facts, information, because there's a lot of information out there, but it's not all usable and it's not all based on wisdom and knowledge. You want your child wants wisdom, your child wants knowledge, your child wants understanding. They want to be able to understand whatever is given to them. And if they can't understand it, then they can't use it. All right, well, welcome back to school. We'll be talking more. God willing, I'll have some guests come in, and we'll talk more about what we need to be doing as parents to make this world a better place. Like the song says, we got to change this world, and it's going to take you and me, because I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. May God bless you. Till next week, assalamu alaikum, peace. And for those of you who are willing to travel, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be in Atlanta at the Fox Theater for the Holy Day of Atonement on Sunday, October 16th. We got a great weekend planned for you. Come on down. Like to see you in Atlanta on that day. Assalamu alaikum.